Good morning, everybody. So my name is Raj Patel. I'm also from the University of the Pacific, like my colleague, Dr. Mai, who just presented. This topic is flipping the switch, enlightening beneficiaries about potential cost-saving opportunities, and also examining factors associated with making a Medicare Part D plan change. I also have no personal financial relationships with any commercial interest over the last 12 months to disclose. So a little bit of background, and before I kind of begin, I want to kind of gauge the audience. How many are familiar with Medicare Part D? Okay, quite a few hands. And understand the difference between standalone prescription drug plans and Medicare Advantage plans? Yes, okay. So in California in 2015, Medicare beneficiaries have one of two ways to get their prescription drug coverage through Medicare. Right, they're the standalone prescription drug plans, which are typically combined with original Medicare, and that benefit solely offers a prescription drug benefit. Now, regardless of where you live in a region, and California is one of the 34 regions that CMS identifies, you have the same different standalone prescription drug plans from which to choose. Okay, so there's 32 choices there. But in addition, you also have these Medicare Advantage prescription drug plans, referred to as MAPDs. Those include not only the hospital and the medical benefit, but also the prescription drug component. Now, what's also different about these is you need a brick-and-mortar building to go to. And because of that, the MAPDs vary depending on the county in which you reside. So in some counties in California, there were as few as two MAPDs. Some of the larger counties had 28 MAPDs. So now let's kind of think about this. If you're a Medicare beneficiary in California in 2015, depending on where you live, you have between 34 and 60 different ways to get your prescription drugs through Medicare. Daunting for most of us who probably, as we're working, maybe have three or four different health insurance providers from which to choose, they can have up to 60. Further complicating matters is that every one of these plans, whether it's a PDP or MAPD, they can have a different formulary, right, list of covered medications, and a different cost-sharing structure, which can include the premium, the deductible, coinsurance, and copays at the pharmacy. So this all makes it quite complicated for a beneficiary, most of whom are 65-plus years of age or older. What we found is that failure to annually re-examine Medicare Part D plan offerings could result in higher than necessary out-of-pocket cost. So with that background, I kind of want to delve into what we did with this study. Our first objective was to identify potential cost-saving opportunities for Medicare Part D plan optimization. And I'm going to share with you what that means and how we calculated that. In addition, with those mobile Medicare clinics that Dr. Mai referred to, we wanted to see how many beneficiaries actually made a switch into a new plan on site, because that was part of the assistance we provided them. So we're going to examine factors that actually helped predict who was likely to make those switches. Am I going too fast or we're good? Okay. So last year in 2014, we had 13 mobile clinics that were all during the Medicare open enrollment period. So that 7-week window between October 15th and December 7th. We went to 7 different cities. Now, as part of our intervention, you heard about the MTM that we did previously. We also did Medicare Part D plan intervention. And when I say we, it's really the people that you see in the orange shirts in this room. Those are student pharmacists from our school who actually were part of this program. During the interventions, they also conducted a structured interview that really provided the data that you're seeing presented today. So some of the information that we collected were socio-demographic characteristics about the beneficiaries that we assisted, including age, the highest level of formal education they completed, whether or not they qualified for an additional governmental subsidy like extra help or Medicaid, their medication utilization patterns, drug plan types, so those PDPs or MAPDs, and also we wanted to see how self-confident they were in selecting a plan without our assistance. In terms of the Part D intervention, really optimizing their Medicare Part D plan, we went on the Medicare.gov website and we used something that probably most of you are familiar with, the Plan Finder tool. So our first objective, again, was really trying to minimize their out-of-pocket prescription drug cost. And to do that, we did a simple cost minimization in which we're not trying to alter the outcomes, right? We're trying to keep outcomes constant, not trying to change their drug therapy, but really minimize the inputs, which is the cost component. And the way we calculated that is we said, okay, they're in a plan, and remember, these events were done in 2014 in the fall. So they're in a plan in 2014. If they remained in that plan in the upcoming year, based on their utilization patterns, based on their pharmacy preferences and other personal parameters, what would be the cost of that plan in 2015? From that, we subtracted out the lowest cost plan in 2015. Okay, so their current plan, if they remained in it for the upcoming year, minus the lowest cost plan. And that difference would simply be the potential out-of-pocket cost savings that beneficiaries could realize by Medicare Part D plan optimization. Demographic and clinical characteristics, I know, standing in the back, that you probably can't see most of these, and that's okay, because really there's two that I want to call your attention to. The first is, this was the mix of the prescription drug plan types of the beneficiaries that we assisted last year. You can see that the overwhelming majority, almost 90%, actually got prescription drug coverage through Medicare. About two-thirds through a PDP, and about 22%, or just under 1 in 4, that got it through an MAPD. There's also about 4% that had creditable coverage. And I don't know if this term is familiar to you, but if you have creditable coverage, what that means is you're getting drug coverage through a former employer or union group that's at least as good as what Medicare can provide. And for those individuals, they're fortunate enough not to have to worry about even trying to sign up for a Part D plan. But that also left about 7% of beneficiaries who neither had creditable coverage nor had a Medicare drug plan. And many of them are going to then face the late enrollment penalty, which, as you probably know, can be quite financially onerous. So let's kind of talk about some of our findings, right? And remember, our core finding here, or our core objective, is minimizing their out-of-pocket prescription drug cost, right? So what you'll see here, and you'll see different slivers of the pie, for 29% of beneficiaries, there were no potential out-of-pocket cost savings. What did that mean? That meant that their current plan in 2014 was going to remain the lowest cost plan in 2015. And they're lucky, because they didn't have to do anything. They could just squat in their current plan, and they were going to be okay in terms of their out-of-pocket cost. But that meant 71% of beneficiaries that we assisted could have realized a potential cost savings. So how did that break down? You can see here that 16% could have saved between $1 and $199 in their annual out-of-pocket cost simply by switching to a different Medicare drug plan. Even more importantly, almost 1 in 4, actually slightly greater than that, 28% to be exact, could have realized at least $1,000 in out-of-pocket cost savings by switching to a different drug plan. Once we calculated this, we then wanted to look at, okay, who's actually making those switches right there on site with our assistance? So here you see the breakdown. And let me call your attention, because I know it gets quite busy. The gray, okay, for any sliver of the pie, so looking at this, the gray indicates they did not switch plans on site, and the yellow indicates they did. So if we have someone who had no potential out-of-pocket cost savings, you would anticipate that few, if any, would actually switch plans. And that's what we observed, right? 95% made no switch. 5% did. So 8 out of the 150 people that fell into this category decided that even though their current plan was going to be the lowest cost, they wanted to switch to a different plan. Typically, those were individuals that were your dual beneficiaries, Medicare and Medicaid, so there was another $0 cost plan, and they wanted to switch with it because they just weren't satisfied with their existing plan. You can see that the yellow percent continues to increase, so this is the on-site switch rate, so it goes to 49% in the $1 to $199 cost savings range, and then 55%, and then 68%. But then sort of counterintuitively, it decreases as the cost savings get really large, so that only 59% of people that could have saved between 1,000 and just under 3,000 switched plans on site, and only 57% of those between or $3,000 or more. And you might be wondering, well, why? Right? Why is that the case? The more you can save, it looks like they're a little less likely to switch. So we examined that as well. The most common reason is because these individuals actually were in those Medicare Advantage prescription drug plans. Right? So drug costs are one consideration. But for those individuals, they also have the hospital and medical benefit, right? So their ER costs and their outpatient doctor visits and the medical cost. And also, very important for most of them, is their provider network, which they're unwilling to switch out of. The second most common reason for these individuals is, I think, it's just pure skepticism. Really? You can save me that much money? So for many of them, they indicated that they wanted to think it over. Third most common reason is they actually wanted to talk to a family member. Fourth was insurance broker, and for the fifth most common reason, it was they wanted to actually work with their doctor to make some drug switches, therapeutic interchange, if you will, which would have then actually changed the plan offerings that would have been ideal for them. That was the first significant factor that we found. Potential out-of-pocket cost savings dictates who was going to make the plan switch on site. There were two other factors. One here is their confidence level. So what we asked them is, without our assistance, how confident are you in actually evaluating the Medicare Part D plan offerings and making a decision on your own? And you can see here that almost 40% of beneficiaries said that they're not at all confident. It was just a slight portion that actually indicated that they were extremely confident. It was only roughly 1 in 10 beneficiaries. And as you can imagine, the more confident they were, the less likely they were to make a Part D plan switch on site. So those individuals that were not at all confident, 49%, if they could have realized a potential cost savings, made the switch. If they were extremely confident, it went down to 24%. Why? Because they probably could do this on their own, because they feel extremely confident with making such a switch. The third factor that was significant in terms of predicting who made a Part D plan switch on site was plan type. If you had a standalone prescription drug plan and you could have realized even a dollar cost savings, 67% of those individuals made that switch on site with a student pharmacist assistance. If you had an MAPD, because of all the other factors that we identified as important for those individuals who have a managed care plan, the switch rate was far lower. It was 39%. We did examine a variety of other variables, and you'll see all of those here. Just want you to know that they were examined. They just didn't prove to be statistically significant in determining the on-site plan switch rate. So in conclusion, there's a few things that we observed. Number one, potential out-of-pocket cost savings really helps determine who's going to switch their Part D plans on site. In addition to that, beneficiaries' confidence is critical when it comes to Part D plan switching. Those who are less confident are much more likely to trust you as the professional to help them with this complicated decision-making process. And also, plan type is also critical, so that those individuals who had a PDP, a standalone prescription drug plan, are much more likely to switch into a different plan if there are cost savings that can be realized than those individuals who had a Medicare Advantage plan. Finally, socio-demographic factors, the list of which you saw in the previous slide, seem to have little importance in determining Part D plan switch rate. And with that, I'll answer any questions, although I do want to acknowledge three people who've been working on this research project for the last year. So Tiffany and Nicole and Sophia, if you can just stand briefly. Any questions I can answer? Yes.
Hi. You do a lot of work with Medicare Part D monitoring. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe I missed this, but when you calculated your out-of-pocket cost,
right,
did you account for premium, besides co-payment and insurance, did you also account for premium and deductible?
Yeah, absolutely. So the question was, when we calculated estimated annual out-of-pocket cost, did we account for things like premium and deductible aside from just co-pays and co-insurance? Absolutely. We looked at estimated annual cost, which includes all of that. Their cost for the premium if the plan has a deductible, and also the cost during all four phases of the standard benefit. All calculated. Yep, absolutely. Yes?
Have you looked at the characteristics of the plan that were available to them in 2014 to see if the guys that chose billing correctly prospectively for 2015 actually chose correctly for 2014?
Yeah, it's a good question. So the question was, well, I'll tell you the issue here. If you recall from Dr. Mai's presentation, we sort of target the underserved, underrepresented population, so there's quite a few duals. And if you know, duals automatically get assigned to a benchmark plan. And so many of those individuals were in a benchmark plan. The benchmark plans didn't change. So that's what happened for many of them. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we did that a couple years ago, and we asked them, you know, it's depressing how most of them choose, because it's not really an objective way. Some of them will choose because a friend recommended it. Some of them want to be in the same plan as a spouse. Some just choose it solely based on having a low monthly premium, even though that's not going to result in a lower out-of-pocket cost over the course of the year. Or even some choose it because they want a plan with no deductible, again, having the same problem about, yes, it has no deductible, but over the course of the year, you're going to pay far more. We haven't examined that. I'd be curious to see if that was the case. It's a good question. Okay. Thank you guys very much.